We do turn this morning in the Word to the book of James, thinking of the, particularly of the new year ahead and what we want, by the grace of God, our lives to look like, what we want to be about in the year ahead, and we bring a particular application to our newly installed officers, that they might receive this exhortation as pertains to them in their office as well. James chapter 1, we'll read the whole of that first chapter. This is God's Word. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. God's holy word, may he write upon our hearts. Let's pray again together. Father, we come together now. We look to you. You would help us as your children. Help us to receive this word. And so sanctify us, change us, Father, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Brothers and sisters, James, we know, I think most of us know, James is a very practical book. Very much focused upon the living out of the Christian life. You could say James presses upon us the practicalities of authentic faith, where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. And the first chapter particularly focuses upon the trials of life, those trials which we often encounter. And he instructs us by the Spirit of God as to how the Christian is to view trials, how he is to act, and what he is to do when he encounters them. So James writes, count it all joy, my beloved brethren, Your faithful Lord is refining you. He brings that lesson, doesn't he? Now, this trial is from the loving hand of God. You are to seek Him and His wisdom in this trial. So yes, I learned that Christ is calling me to come to Him in my trial. And He encourages me to ask for wisdom. And He assures me that He will indeed give me wisdom as I ask for that. In other words, Jesus Himself would teach me. He Himself would teach me. Ah, but I must be teachable. Now, as often as I find myself in trials, Christ would lovingly teach me. But oftentimes, we're not very teachable children, are we? Oftentimes, ours is not a teachable spirit. So we want to think on that this morning as we think about being doers of the word. What is it to have a teachable spirit? What are the indicators of a teachable spirit? And what are those things that hinder having a teachable spirit? That's what our Lord would direct our attention to this morning. So we think on that. Three indicators of a teachable spirit, they're these. First of all, giving careful attention to the word, that's the first. Secondly, receiving the word. And thirdly, and really ultimately, this is where James, his whole drive is, doing the word. So giving careful attention to the word, receiving the word, and doing the word. As we look to the year ahead, brothers and sisters, what do we want our lives to look like? Certainly as we look ahead to the new year, we want to see the Lord work in us. And in His working, as He works in us, this is one of those characteristics we'll see, and we hope increasingly so, that we're doers of the word and not merely hearers. So first of all this, the first indicator, giving careful attention to the word. James writes, and again we're looking particularly at the section beginning at verse 19. So at verse 19, James writes, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." James writes that we are to be swift to hear. He entitled this particular indicator, giving careful attention to the word. Now, this is my greatest need at all times, isn't it, really? We often say this as we come to worship, my greatest need is to hear the word of God. My greatest need is to hear God speak. Now, with respect to my responsibility, what's the greatest need? It's to give careful attention to the word of God. To hear what Christ would say to me. Be swift to hear. So, even as we come to that idea this morning, let me ask, does this describe you this morning? Eager to hear, swift to hear, ready to hear. You know, sometimes we're sleepy when we are to come under the hearing of the word, and it's because we stayed up too late the previous night. I don't suppose anybody did that. I won't ask for a show of hands. I trust everyone had a wonderful rest last night. Or if it was a short rest, that it was a deep and wonderful rest, all right? But sometimes we come to worship and we're sleepy. And we're sleepy because we've just had a busy night before. And we haven't really thought then in terms of giving attention to the word, because I'm hindered in giving my attention to the word. Obviously, if I'm sleepy, you know, I often say this, you know, if a person is sleepy, not to draw attention to yourself, but you come to worship, you're sleepy, you're having trouble listening, you're having trouble concentrating, stand up. Well, Elder Nez is in the back there standing up. I should say he always stands up there in the back, so. But we want to give attention to the word. Sometimes that sort of thing hinders us, doesn't it? Sometimes we're distracted when we should be giving attention to the word, and we need to focus in. Maybe we're distracted because we sit too far back and there's all kinds of activity going on in front of us. Maybe we're distracted because we think we just have other things on our minds. That's probably the more common thing. We just have other, we're thinking about other things. What we're going to do later today, maybe. Don't think about that now. But we think about other things. Maybe we're distracted because we're thinking about how someone else really needs to hear this sermon. Right? No, I'm the one who needs to hear it. And that's true in every case. I'm the one who needs to hear this sermon. So yes, to give careful attention to the Word of God is my greatest need at all times.